This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As Democrats sort out a crowded primary for governor, it's given Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany a window to introduce himself to voters on his own terms.
With the help of millions of dollars in TV ads, Tiffany has presented himself as a folksy everyman, but he is one of the most conservative members of Congress and a steadfast ally of President Donald Trump.
In our first of a series of profiles in the governor's race, WPR's Rich Kramer has this report.
On a warm summer evening, a couple hundred Republicans gather at the Elderberry Manor Wedding Barn in West Bend. They're attending an event put on by the Tiffany for Governor campaign, dubbed Freedom Fest, celebrating America's 250th anniversary. The smell of barbecue fills the air. Kids get their faces painted, and people play cornhole, throwing beanbags at targets emblazoned with Old Glory. The Red Barn is adorned with strategically placed campaign signs and a giant American flag. And the crowd erupts when Tom Tiffany rounds the corner.
Hey, are you fired up for America 250?
Yeah! Tiffany's speech recounts his childhood with six siblings on a western Wisconsin dairy farm, a period he calls a blessing. He hails the role of Wisconsin's farms, forests, and factories building the nation and praises earlier generations for defending it in time of war. Tiffany warns of the rise of socialism within the Democratic Party and says it's time for him and his fellow conservatives to lead by winning. Once they do, he says it's time to reform state government.
We should end the 400-year property tax increase, shouldn't we?
You betcha!
We should audit every state agency to root out fraud and waste, shouldn't we?
You betcha!
And we should not allow China to buy a single acre of farmland here in Wisconsin.
Tiffany was endorsed by President Donald Trump in January, and that effectively cleared the GOP field. It has spared Tiffany from the kind of costly and nasty primary Republicans faced in the last governor's race, the kind that Democrats are starting to experience right now. Veteran Republican consultant Mark Grawl has known Tiffany for around 25 years. He calls him authentic and a regular guy. Grawl says having a clear path to the primary in November is a really big deal.
He's had a bit of an advantage over the last couple months as Democrats try to sort out their jungle primary, where he's kind of been on his own and can just tell people who he is and what he stands for and what he believes in a way without sort of the noise of the bigger campaign going on around him.
Tiffany's ads are pure Wisconsin. They feature him in a bar, on a dairy farm, and tending a dam. But his critics say they belie the real Tom Tiffany. Dale Schultz was a fellow Republican state senator when the legislature passed a bill to clear the way for a massive iron mine in northern Wisconsin in 2013. Schultz opposed that bill. Tiffany sponsored it.
I remember a guy who was pretty mean, pretty heartless.
Since he was elected to Congress in 2020, Tiffany has racked up a lengthy conservative voting record. A national index of bipartisanship lists him as one of the least likely members to work across the aisle. On January 6th of 2021, Tiffany objected to counting election results showing Trump lost Pennsylvania and Arizona. He said he would have done the same for Wisconsin. But that vote never happened after Trump supporters violently stormed the U.S. Capitol. This year, Democrats have tied him to Trump's economic policies, dubbing him Tariff Tom Tiffany. He has stuck with Trump on everything. But the Cook Political Report's Jessica Taylor says Republicans like Tiffany have little choice.
Trump doesn't let Republicans have any daylight. If you criticize him in any way, it's going to be more detrimental to you because he's going to go after you, and that could hurt you with the base.
Still, Taylor says with Trump's approval ratings hitting historic lows this year, sticking with the president might hurt Tiffany this fall. During an interview after his Freedom Fest speech, Tiffany disputed that idea.
I think Democrats will be making a serious mistake in just making this race about Donald Trump, because we're going to make it about the state of Wisconsin. And that's ultimately what people want to hear.
It's a message he's been allowed to deliver virtually unopposed for now. Once the primary is over, people will get to see Tiffany through a different lens as Democrats spend tens of millions of dollars attacking him. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
WPR will continue our series on the governor's race tomorrow with a profile of Madison Democratic Senator Kel DeRoys. This is WPR News. Two Wisconsin companies recently signed deals to supply critical components to new data centers. They represent big contracts coming to Wisconsin companies in a rapidly developing sector.
Waukesha-based Generac announced an agreement in June to provide backup power generators for hyperscale data operators.
And Racine-based Modine Manufacturing announced it has entered into a $4 billion contract to provide cooling systems for a data center customer.
To learn more, Wisconsin Watch reporter Tom Kircher is with us. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Kate. Appreciate it.
And Dijo Alexander is with us, professor of practice at Lubar College of Business at UW-Milwaukee, specializing in technology management, digital transformation, and AI. Dijo, welcome.
Thank you so much, Kate. Happy to be here.
Tom, starting with you, companies like Google, like Microsoft, are developing data centers in Wisconsin. And there is this whole economic infrastructure, this whole supply chain that is going up as well in support of these facilities. And you've reported on some of the business growth that's underway. What Wisconsin businesses are landing major contracts from the AI data center industry?
Yeah, at least three that are doing so in a big way. There's a company called Regal Rexnord in Milwaukee that makes motors. There's Generac in Waukesha outside of Milwaukee that makes generators. And in Racine, there's a company called Modine that makes cooling systems. The story I did took a look at how much data center business those companies are doing. And just the three of them, at least as of March, had done more than $1 billion worth of data center business.
Do you continue to see these contracts landing with Wisconsin companies months later?
There are more. Generac just announced the other day another contract, and so has Modine. Modine said that it has a $4 billion deal with a data center operator that it did not identify. Generac, too, announced that it made a global agreement to supply backup power generators, again, to an unidentified data center operator. They didn't put a dollar figure on that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no question that even before hyperscale data centers are up and running in Wisconsin, that Wisconsin businesses are benefiting.
Dijo, what do you make of this activity? At least $46 billion worth of data centers under construction or being planned in Wisconsin. What kind of businesses feed into that development?
It is going to be enormous. Essentially, we are starting with the compute cluster, and there is this so-called second-order, third-order supply chain effects that we are going to see. Unlike many other states, Wisconsin already has a manufacturing base. This not only attracts local businesses to supply to our data centers coming up in our neighborhood, but also expose these companies to opportunities outside the state.
Generac and Modine, I mean, they'll be located near some of these massive data centers they'll be providing these products for. How important, Dijo, is proximity and just-in-time logistics in awarding contracts for cooling, for instance?
Cooling is one of the most important things, and also cooling is a field where technology is going to advance in the next 3 to 5 years. So right now, most of the data centers are going through air cooling systems. It is completely going to change to liquid cooling. And that is exactly why data center companies are attracted to Wisconsin with our large pool of fresh water. And this technology itself is emerging. And I hope companies like Modine will be able to participate in this advancement in technology to provide not only the liquid cooling systems, but also the chip, direct-to-chip cooling, which are all emerging, still emerging. And proximity is a big thing. You get to participate in these discussions upfront, initially itself, and then slowly but surely expand into other regions and get global exposure.
I wonder, too, whether, you know, Generac and Modine, for instance, they do business around the world. They're multinationals. But are the smaller companies getting in on this yet? Are they landing deals with these up-and-coming AI data centers?
They are. When I did a story about the three companies making more than $1 billion worth of business on data center work, you know, we also included an example of much smaller company called Modular Power and Data, not a household name. But they do have about 90 employees in Dane County and in Milwaukee County. And that company talked about the fact that in 2025, it did $10 million worth of data center business. And the expectation was that figure will more than double this year.
We're talking about which Wisconsin businesses are set to profit off the development of data centers in the state. That is Tom Kircher, reporter with Wisconsin Watch, and Dejo Alexander is here, professor of practice at Lubar College of Business at UW-Milwaukee. Dejo, massive developments like the Mount Pleasant data center from Microsoft can possibly create what you've called a tech corridor. What might that look like?
That is the ecosystem play that we have to imagine. The data center itself is going to be the center of this whole thing. And also, we keep hearing that there are going to be only limited full-time employees there. That is true. But the effect of all these things being at the center is going to create a lot more activities around this thing. There are a lot of examples of these around the world, and simple cases like Ashburn or the Loudoun County in Virginia is, for example, is currently the data center capital of the world. And that is also, by the way, the wealthiest county in the whole country. So there is a reason why these data centers attract a lot more activities around it, all the way from, especially with this being an AI-centered investment, there is a lot of fight going to be closer to these data centers, because at the end of the day, how quickly you can get the inference out and saving a few milliseconds is going to be the key sometimes in the future when it comes to all these high-frequency trading and those kind of decision-making within a few milliseconds. And being closer to Milwaukee and attracting that kind of activities down the line, businesses to the area, with that, a lot more opportunities, especially in the tech field, for employment. And this is not going to happen overnight. We have time. We have 2 to 3 years, and this is going to be the time to prepare for it, plan for it, and educate our workforce and get them ready for this opportunity that is coming.
So it sounds like you see Wisconsin being positioned to become this AI infrastructure supply chain hub for the Midwest. Is that what you see?
Absolutely. This is a great opportunity. Our unique positioning is the first and foremost is the fresh water. But then we also, being in Midwest, we have the deep manufacturing base in order to support this kind of construction and then further maintenance and activities, ongoing activities. Then we have the university system here. This is going to be the feeder for not only we need a lot of science to be discovered at this point to support some of these necessary things going on in the data center and also AI space in general. And then our geographic location is amazing. This, we are in the center of the country, and always think about this. This is all about movement of photons and electrons, the digital age of moving information from one end of the country to the other end, and we are at the center feeding across East Coast and West Coast, and we have a lot of advantages going, and this is a time to feel that power in our minds and act with a approach of understanding that value to negotiate better.
Using that leverage. Tom, turning back to you, you have written that hyperscale data centers can often bring the new construction jobs, but they are temporary jobs. Are the jobs created at these other companies that provide services, that provide the equipment for data centers, the maintenance over their lifespan, are these longer lasting than construction jobs?
You know, I think that remains to be seen. The construction jobs, to be fair, they're temporary, certainly, but we're talking about many months or even more than a year to build a hyperscale data center. And so there is a big impact from construction. I was just talking actually today to the Port Washington mayor, and he talked about the impact there already. He said there are as many as 2,000 construction workers in Port Washington every day, and those people are spending money to stay in an Airbnb and going to the grocery store and going to restaurants. And so, you know, a big impact for an extended period of time. In terms of the companies that are supplying the data centers, I think the expectation would be that that would be a lasting project, right? The data centers will continue to need generators, will continue to need cooling systems. You know, that being said, this is all pretty new frontier, right? And the expectation is data centers will be a big part of the economy, will be around a long time, but we don't know. And certainly there's a possibility that some of these data centers are constructed and maybe they don't turn out to be as successful as expected. And obviously, if that were the case, that would affect the suppliers too.
Dijo, in this uncertainty, what could lawmakers or Wisconsin officials do to make sure communities do get the most out of this new industry and do, you know, are stewards to the resources that they have?
This is a time to negotiate and be at the table. We have to understand the value that we are providing. I mean, these data centers need our water, land, our power grid, and workers. And of course, we need their investment, research partnership, the supply chain demand, and we have to talk to them and arrive at legally binding agreements where it is long-lasting, and also the investments necessary has to be kind of coming from all sides, if not from the larger consumers of electricity, in this case, the data centers. And these are not small companies that are coming in. They are companies that have deep pockets, and it is just a matter of negotiating, working with them, the word that you use, the stewardship, instead of ownership of this water and the resources that we have. We are just stewards, and we have to be watchful and protective of the of these resources for the future generations too.
I think one thing to watch for is to see whether, as people become more aware of the economic impact of data centers, does their opinion of data centers change? So polls nationwide have consistently found that Americans feel that data centers have more downsides than good sides, so to speak. And in Wisconsin, when there's a data center proposed, there's often opposition that's quickly mobilized. You know, Facebook groups start out, rallies are held. There's a lot of visible opposition. I think it'll be interesting to watch as people learn more about companies perhaps near them who are benefiting from data center work. Be interesting to see if their opinions about data centers shift.
Dijo and Tom, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. You're welcome, Kate.
Tom Kircher is a reporter with Wisconsin Watch, and Dijo Alexander is a professor of practice at Lubar College of Business at UW-Milwaukee. We've been talking about how Wisconsin manufacturers are seizing on new business opportunities with the rise of AI data centers.